2 weeks, babe.
I haven't vaped in 2 weeks. I'm fine. I can't chew enough watermelon-flavored gum, but I can't chew it now because we have to record, and I'll be like...
Hello, everybody, and welcome to I Think Not, and welcome to this episode of The Rundown, where Joey Taranto and me, Ellen Marsh, we just catch you up on what's happening in the world. I think I speak for Joey and I when I say this. Yeah. So thanks for coming to this episode. Like, subscribe, share.
Yeah, here we are. You know, our last episode, we got some pushback.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about that for a minute?
There are people that I've spoken with in the DMs about what our take was on Charlie Kirk. And there were some people who accused us of essentially victim blaming, saying that we were saying, yes, Charlie Kirk's murder was wrong, but these are all the things that we believe he said and did. And by saying those things, they took it as we were saying he brought it on himself.
Right.
I want to say for the record, I'm not speaking for you, I'm speaking for myself. Murder is wrong. I think I made that very clear that I do believe murder is wrong. I'm not going to speak for any other community only but my own, the LGBTQIA plus community. So many letters, okay? I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I have looked through, I combed through, and not out of context. This is not cherry picked. Charlie Kirk said a lot of harmful things about my community and put people in harm's way, specifically trans people. So I just want to say for the record, okay, whatever your stance is on Charlie, you think that he just spoke his truth. Well, I'm allowed to speak my truth as well, you know? And that is that Charlie Kirk did not deserve to die. No one deserves to be murdered, period. And also I can say that I did not like Charlie Kirk. And that's that.
I found the pushback to be very curious, and it was minimal, but it really goes to show what living in an echo chamber is like. And I posted this quote by Ricky Gervais on my social media.
How arrogant are you to think that you deserve to go through life with no one ever saying anything that you don't agree with or like? Yeah, but you shouldn't hurt people's feelings. Well, you can if their feelings are wrong.
If you don't like the facts, don't change the facts.
Change the feelings.
Yes,
you know.
And that's it. After 2016, when I was blindsided by Donald Trump winning, I realized that I had situated myself in a very comfortable reverse bubble, a bubble that is very easy to do on social media because your algorithm feeds you what you like. If you like plants, you're going to get plant videos. If you like men in gray sweatpants, you're going to get men in gray sweatpants videos. That is the way that online communities work and function. I actually make a concerted effort to step outside of that. I watch Fox News. I watch Megyn Kelly. I listen to Tucker Carlson. So what was very interesting to me were people that were not familiar with Charlie Kirk's work weighing in. Now, I've been following him for about 2 years, you know, in my peripheral, whatever. It is very strange to me. Now, what prompted me to speak about it on my private social media was that I saw him being compared to Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Harvey Milk. That is what upset me. I wholeheartedly, with my whole being, believe in the First Amendment. And the First Amendment grants you the right to freedom of speech, even if I don't agree with your freedom of speech. Just like I get to have this microphone and I get to say what I want. It was very interesting hearing people twist around our words. I actually came down to one point with one listener where I actually downloaded our transcript. I went to a transcript app, I downloaded the whole thing, and I said, here it is in black and white, and find me the spot where we said he deserved it. Because I am entitled to my opinion, you are, you listening, you are not entitled to manipulate my words. People think that, you know, I can't take criticism. Bitch, I've been taking criticism my whole life. I have heard criticism since I started ballet class when I was 3 years old. What I won't take is being misquoted. I actually don't blame people because when your critical thinking is clouded by your cognitive dissonance, it's very easy to hear what you want to hear. And I found it very challenging to find some linear stories. So what we're going to do today is we're kind of going to talk about the aftermath of Charlie Kirk, and we'll get more into that. But I just want to share one story with you all. And I really kind of need to hear from the chat on this one. If you ever followed me on Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case, you'll know that I dive into research. And part of that comes from imposter syndrome, because I never want to be met with a question that I don't know the answer to, feeling like I don't know enough. I really scoured the internet on this one, you guys, and I need some direction. So let me share this story with you that I'm sure a lot of you have heard. You know, what's also hard is things happen so quickly. It's like fucking Oz. How can you even keep track of things? I have people sending me DMs about stuff and I don't even know what they're talking about. And this story too, it's changed so many times. I want to tell you the story about Trey Reed, who was 21 years old, a student from Granada, Mississippi. He went to Delta State, and on September 15th, the early hours at about 7:30, this young man was found hanging from a tree near the pickleball courts. On that Thursday, the Cleveland Police Department released a statement saying that an autopsy was performed on Reed's body, and that was done by the Mississippi State Medical Examiner's Office. It says, quote, "It was consistent with the initial investigation determining the cause of death to be hanging and the manner of death by suicide." Now then, you all, social media took off. And let me tell you what I believed the first time I heard it, and it has now been debunked, because someone went online claiming to be this man's cousin. They said that he was found with broken limbs and cuts and scrapes and a Y carved in his chest. I believed it when I heard it. But then the original post was deleted, but not before all the damage had been done. And the family came directly onto Facebook and asked that people stop posting on TikTok and Reddit, because they confirmed that he did not have broken bones, that people's speculation was actually hurting the investigation. Now, the county coroner, who is a black man himself, came out and confirmed that the deceased did not suffer any lacerations, contusions, compound fractures, broken bones, or injuries consistent with an assault. I also would like to say that the family, as well they should, they are conducting their own independent autopsy, and actually Colin Kaepernick has agreed to pay for whatever the family needs in terms of their own independent investigation. I think that's great. And they are still waiting for the final toxicology results, which they said they're going to get in about 2 to 4 weeks.
Well, before you go on, did you say Kaepernick?
Is that his name?
I think it's Kaepernick.
Is it Kaepernick?
I could be wrong. Someone tell me.
Avi said she don't know football. You're right, Joey.
It's Kaepernick, I believe.
Kaepernick. Who's Kaepernick?
Yeah.
Steve Kornacki? You know what? You all know what I meant.
Someone from a Dr. Seuss book.
You know what I meant. You know what I said. Now, I read this post on Instagram before I had seen that the family came forward, and this post really moved me. This is a quote from the NAACP. This was posted on their Instagram. It says, quote, "While initial reports offered no evidence of foul play, you'd have to excuse our skepticism amid growing racially motivated violence targeted at our communities across this nation. So while we await a more formal autopsy, reports, and information, we offer you this piece of history with a level of certainty. Our people have not historically hung ourselves from trees." That really kind of gut punched me. But then, just yesterday, the president of the student council at Delta State, whose name was Jaquan Wallace, said he saw Trey Reed just that night before. This is a quote from that young man. Quote, "I woke up that morning and heard they'd found someone hanging from a fruit tree near Blansett Hall. You wonder, who could it be? Well, that previous night, my roommate and I were going to get some food, and I saw Trey sitting out there in front of Blansett Hall by himself on the phone. I asked him if he was okay. He looked up at me and then just looked down at his phone and didn't say anything. I didn't really press him if he didn't want to talk to us. When my roommate and I came back, we saw him again in the distance, and he didn't see us. I could tell he was real upset. He was making gestures and was acting like he was throwing stuff. He would kick the wall, and then he stormed off towards Blansett Hall. He was just out of it. He was really upset, and I had never seen him like that before." First of all, I hope that young man is okay. I hope he does not hold any guilt in his heart for what happened. Before I go into some stats I wanted to share, do you all in the chat know about this story? What have you heard? You heard this story, right, my love?
Yeah, there was a second young man as well.
Yes. I really went back and forth, and I wanted to honor this story because I have to say that I was really taken with the story, especially coming off the back of the protests and riots after Charlie Kirk's death. It's just awful. But I would like to share some statistics because I got to thinking about what if this man really was hurting and everyone is screaming that it was a lynching. I feel like we're not really honoring that man. And I just wanted to share some stats that I looked at. Men die from suicide far more than women, about 3.8 times as often. By the way, all of these stats I'm going to give you are from the National Institute for Mental Health. Roughly half adults with any mental illness receive treatment, but women are more likely to get care than men. In 2023, 50.6% of adults with any mental illness received treatment in the past year. Black adults, men and women, are less likely than white adults to receive mental health services. 38% of Black adults with any mental illness received services versus 15% of white adults. Suicide is the third leading cause of death for Black youth ages 10 to 24. And Black males have a much higher suicide death rate than Black females. I went on to read, you know, some of the reasons that they give. So you have already this stigma around men's mental health. You know, the toxic masculinity, men don't need help, men don't cry.
They don't talk about their feelings.
Exactly.
Yeah, walk it off.
And then you talk about the race-specific barriers that could also be there. Medical distrust is a huge thing for Black people.
Understandably so.
Yeah. It could be structural access problems to insurance, to proper care, to Black clinicians, Black doctors. And so if men overall face a higher suicide mortality rate and lower treatment rates, and then Black men face all of those plus those race-specific barriers, it's almost like double disparity. The point is, I don't know what happened to this man. Delta State, it should be said, is 40% Black. You know, we're not talking about Ole Miss or something like that, where the students are mostly all white. Do racist-based attacks happen? Of course. But it's just really scary when people jump to a narrative when there is also a narrative that is being overlooked. And that's that Black people, specifically Black men, aren't given the same mental health help as others. And if this man was hurting, we are not honoring his legacy and we are not honoring his life and the trouble that he might have been in. I don't know. It really kind of hurts my heart. I get it. I thought the same thing when I read it. What are your thoughts, honey?
For me, the family coming out and being like, can you stop posting about, you know, his broken bones when there wasn't any. I'll be very curious to see what the autopsy report is, getting more details. And that's the thing that I've learned to do, is not assume anything until we get all the information.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, it is true. Like, mental health is not something that men in this country have ever been taught to prioritize. My dad didn't talk about his feelings ever.
Mm-hmm. No, I never saw my dad cry.
I would venture to say that my father was so stressed out in the end of his life that it contributed to him having a massive heart attack and dying.
Mm-hmm.
But mental health issues in this country are a
epidemic.
Yes. I hope that we are coming up in a new generation of young men who are like, I'm talking about my feelings.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get up and walk it off. I'm going to talk about my feelings. People like Thomas, your boyfriend, give me hope because he's so emotionally intelligent. It is a thing that toxic masculinity is, we are steeped in it in this country heavily.
If this was a disgusting lynching, of course we want justice for the family.
Yes.
But if this man really was struggling, we are doing him and his story and his family no justice. We're not serving that family in any way, especially if the family asked the internet to stop.
Yeah.
It's been on my heart. We don't have many more answers other than that. I do want to say, no matter how much pain you are experiencing right now, we are in, y'all, Everybody's heart is heavy. You are not alone. I understand that sometimes our pain can seem overwhelming and it can seem permanent and it can just seem like compounding one on top of the other. But please, there are people that are there to help you. There are ways to cope. If you need help or assistance, please text 988 or call 1-800-784-2433. And of course, if there's any updates with that story, I will make you aware of them. And I just wanted to let you know, I was looking into that story. Corey Zakatis was the other young man found. He was found near a casino in Vicksburg, also in Mississippi. I believe it was the same day. I looked into Trey Reed's story just because that was sadly just, you know, kind of on people's tongue. So I will keep you updated. But we're going to try and dive into talking about some of the aftermath and what has happened this week since Charlie Kirk was killed. Joey and I both struggled on this independently. There is just so much information and so much happening minute to minute that I was having trouble sort of making my thoughts be linear. So we don't know how this is going to go.
I'm just trying to find some of the highlights because there are so many allegations now.
Yeah.
In regard to Charlie Kirk's murder. And there are many loud voices, but I would say that right now, Candace Owens, which is a name that I never thought I would talk about on this podcast, is one of the loudest voices who is essentially shaping the conversation around this. So I just want to give you like an overview of what she's alleging and some things I'm not going to say because I'm just not going to. So a young man named Tyler Robinson was arrested after his DNA was found on both the rifle and other items found at the crime scene. And there's been a lot of conversations circulating around, was this guy MAGA? Is this guy a leftist? Is he a Groiber? Is he, you know, there's all of these things and people think they know, but they just don't.
So he was taken into custody on September 11th. It was about 33 hours after the shooting. Authorities released the surveillance images of who they thought this killer was, asking for the public's help. The public's help and health. We want everyone to have good health. I gotta say, I said this way before anything came out about who this person was. My first statement was, that's the only picture you have. That's it. We're going on this like BlackBerry Pearl from 2001 pixelate. That's all you have. It was side profile, one of him looking at the camera with glass. Like, my grandmother takes better pictures and she's been in the ground for 12 years. What was that picture?
I have no idea, but there's also just more conversations about him going to the Dairy Queen right after the murder. And they're like, so is he a sociopathic, like, dissociated murderous man who went to the Dairy Queen for some ice cream? Or is this not the guy who, and he was just going to get ice cream? Also changing his clothes. Also, they were alleging that he was walking with a limp on this surveillance video because he was carrying a giant rifle in his jeans. I saw that video. He's definitely walking funny, but I would say carrying a massive rifle in your pants is a stretch.
Yeah, and Candace has really been breaking this down. I was like, this is some Cory Booker shit. She hasn't gotten off a microphone for days.
Now, I just want to say, Ellen and I have not taken a side on this. We're just relaying the information we have. And part of the reason is because Candace Owens has really, in the oddest way ever, because I would say the left wanted nothing to do with Candace Owens, but she has sort of bent the ear of everyone, because I think at this point everyone wants the Epstein files released.
And it should be said, she's kind of gone rogue.
She has gone majorly rogue because, you know, she was so pro-Trump, and now she's like, I'm sorry that I ever told anyone to ever vote for him, which is like, what? Candace Owens alleges that billionaire Bill Ackman arranged an intervention in the Hamptons to pressure Kirk about his pro-Israel views, because in recent interviews, Charlie had really sort of changed his stance, slowly but surely, on Israel. Candace Owens says that threats were made. Now, Bill Ackman denies this, and he called it pure fiction, and even posted text exchanges to say otherwise. Also, Candace Owens has alleged that Robinson, the shooter, didn't act alone, that powerful elites may be covering up the truth. And something I want to point out, too, is one of the things that really irritates me that's going on right now is this rhetoric around trans people being dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Trans people are just out here trying to live life. I promise you, the last thing that trans folks want to do is draw more attention to themselves.
Yep.
And this idea that trans folks are somehow out here planning school shootings, get the fuck out of here. I am not a violent person, but if you say that shit in front of me, it's going to be very hard for me not to punch you in the face
mm-hmm.
because it's just wrong. And Candace Owens has said some horrible things about the trans community. But in regard to this, she keeps saying, this is not a left issue. This is not a right issue. Please stop making this about trans people because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, this is a situation where for so long, I thought it was left versus the right, right versus the left. She's like, it's not. It's the government, us versus them.
I can't believe I ever fell for the left versus right paradigm. I feel very dumb to have fallen for that for a very long time. I'm sure we all do. We're like, oh, this person's enemy, this person's enemy. And they're just at the top, like, don't care. We control both sides. We're gonna do whatever we want. And now we realize it's us versus them.
And I was mm-hmm. like, did someone unplug her from the Matrix? What's happening? Did a burning bush show up in her front yard? It's like, hey, yo, it's me. God, I got some changes I need you to make.
Yeah.
Because she is singing a very different tune.
For sure. You take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
She's just a person with a microphone, which, by the way, so is Charlie Kirk. He was just a guy with a microphone. He was a podcaster. I'm not saying that's not important because, hello, that would be very hypocritical. But the bitch has been investigating.
Yeah.
She is the one who found that Dairy Queen video, by the way. Candace Owens is the one that got her hands on the Dairy Queen video. She is talking about the clothing changes. She's talking about Gate. Love her or hate her, game recognizes game. I can go down a research rabbit hole. I have to hand it to her. Somebody in the chat wrote that I think this is her way of processing grief is by trying to figure out exactly what happened. And I accept that. I don't know what I think, but let me tell you what I would go to Vegas on. And you all know how much I hate Vegas. Those texts, the 22-year-olds didn't write those texts.
Yeah, the style in which some of those texts were written, I was like, this is some boomer that is being like, how do the kids talk? It doesn't make sense.
You know how my dad is MAGA. I mean, he laid out his motive. He laid out the change of clothes, which he called his clothes an outfit. And he was giving all kinds of details. It's like if you were to say, hey, Ellen, how was your day? Well, I left my home at approximately 8:30. I stopped for gas. I was nowhere near that robbery that took place at the convenience store. It was just all too much information. It was like a Scooby-Doo episode where somebody always...
Well, that's exactly what Candace Owens was saying. She's like, you know, if you look back in history... Whenever the government has tried to cover something up, what they do is they just inundate you with so much information that it's impossible to sift throughout all of it. Candace Owens and Charlie Kirk were best friends.
They have since distanced themselves, all relating to her stance on Israel and his stance on Israel. They had sort of drifted. Candace said that she and Charlie were just sort of coming to terms. Because he was sort of changing his Israel stance. I mean, God forbid, if anything happened to you, I would be on every microphone being like, he didn't say that. He didn't do that. He would never do. I would be making sure every letter of every article was correct. So I get what she's doing.
Yeah.
And I respect it. I don't respect the hateful things that Candace has said. Let me tell you what I do respect about her, though. I respect her saying I was wrong. You can choose to do one of two things. You could say, fuck you. Your damage is done. Or you can recognize how hard it is for someone with such a big fucking platform to come and say I was wrong. Me, I respect that. Don't change it around and say Ellen Marsh loves Candace Owens. Bullshit. No. I respect somebody saying I have more information. I have plugged out of the matrix. I am reprocessing and I was wrong. Because that's a very, very hard thing for someone to do, especially with someone for as big of an ego that Candace has.
Exactly what I was going to say. And I was like, especially for a conservative. Sorry, conservatives, if you're listening. But don't get me wrong. Like, the left sometimes can eat the left. I get it. But I will say this. Like, she must know something. She knows something because for her to change her tune, and I'm talking a 360 or 180. Is it 180 or 360?
180.
Thank you very much. I know something about math. I read something. something once.
You got it.
But like for her to do a 180 like this so publicly when her base is conservatives.
Yeah.
And be like, nope. I'm like, okay, there's got to be something going on. Does that mean that I'm going to be buying Candace Owens' book and downloading her podcast? Absolutely not.
Right.
But the point is that she is making, and why we wanted to talk about it, is that she is trying to say that corruption and power games cut across party lines and that all of this, like, you know, culture wars over trans people and stuff, like, it's a distraction in this case. And what she's trying to do is expose deception, elite deception, rather than just play Republican versus Democrat. For her to do that, because I don't think I've ever heard Candace Owens say a bipartisan anything in her life, something's going on. I'm always going to take everything with a grain of salt, but I will say she is taking on some very powerful people, and I think the reason she's being so public and posting it, and I have to tell you, her videos right now are getting, they're averaging 4 million views on YouTube. I think she is trying to protect herself because there are people on both sides being like, Candace, don't do too much. You're going to get yourself killed.
Absolutely. And I have thought that same thing. I don't think Charlie and Candace were as close as they once were, but you can hear in her voice that she has love for him. If something, God forbid, ever happened to you, I'd be like, fuck you. I don't care. Gun me down. I'm going to figure it out. I mean, I get it. I want to just go through for 1 second. When you read these text messages, Joey, they are preposterous. I just want to read this one. His roommate says, why? And then Robinson said, why did I do it? Yeah, this is his answer. I had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out. If I'm able to grab my rifle unseen, I will have left no evidence. Going to attempt to retrieve it again? Hopefully they have moved on. I haven't seen anything about them finding it. How long have you been planning this? A bit over a week, I believe. What? I can get close to it, but there is a squad car. Who says squad car? Squad car parked right by it. I think they already swept that spot, but I don't want to chance it. I'm wishing I had circled back and grabbed it as soon as I got my vehicle. I'm worried what my old man would do if I didn't bring back Grandpa's rifle. I don't know if it had a serial number, but it wouldn't trace to me. I worry about prints. I'd have to leave a bush where I could change outfits. What in the fuck?
It don't make no sense.
None of it makes sense. I think the thing we can all agree on is none of it makes sense. This has been on my mind all week, mostly because we've gotten so many lovely DMs, but y'all, the hate is always louder. And I get it. Charlie Kirk was a polarizing figure. People on the left and the right felt very strongly, maybe even too strongly. But this is what I have full circle circled back to. And it's beyond politics and it's beyond debate. It's beyond Facebook comments and conversations. Life has been cut short and these ripple effects are showing our inhumanity.
Woo!
Candace, oh my God, what the hell am I saying? Candace is right. The right and the left, we need to come together. Not because we agree on everything. We just never will. We just never will. But we need to stop communicating in memes. We need to stop seeing each other as talking points and clapbacks. We are all fucking human beings with families, with beliefs, with fears, with anxieties, with things we want to do, things we want to accomplish. We all wake up every day scared for our fucking kids, scared for our friends. We are in a fucking clickbait tornado of online rage. And none of this is healing us. And none of this is strengthening us. And please do not think I am preaching. I am saying this to myself because we talked about it last week. I get sucked into it. But what strengthens us is real fucking conversation, real fucking community. The courage to stand up and say, hey, I agree with Candace Owens here, everybody. Or I just agreed with something Tucker Carlson said, and we all have a choice. And here's what I really, really want to impart. And this is something I never forget. History will remember us. It's really your choice of how you want to be remembered. Live today how you want to be fucking remembered. That's really it. I have really been in an emotional kind of hurricane with everyone. You know, I can find myself going back and forth and I'm like, what point are we proving here? I just think we are so fucked beyond belief. And I think there are a bunch of really powerful people being like, we did good. Look what we did down there.
So I have something to add here.
Go for it.
Who benefits the most from all of us fighting with each other? It is the corporations who now run our country. We're talking about billionaires. We are a capitalist country, right? But we are run essentially by corporations.
Yeah.
And by keeping us squabbling with each other, it distracts us from the real problem, which is that we are not running this shit.
Yeah.
We get the illusion of democracy. I think that there has to come a point where we all get together and say, what are we after? The left eating the right eating the left eating the left. My God, no one will turn on you quicker than a liberal. Let me tell you that.
Oh, please. I hate far left liberals more than I hate any Democrat. I'm like, shut up.
After Charlie Kirk died, there was a bunch of white men saying, white men fight back. And all I commented on a video on Instagram was, all right, ladies, that's enough of that. And then like a handful of these like women were like, oh, thanks for showing us your misogyny. And I was like, babes, I'm on your side. I'm using misogyny against these men because that's the only thing they understand. I'm not going to use nuance with big dum-dums. But I was like, you're wasting your time. I'm on your side. Anyway, my point being here is that we have to be real careful. Because history is repeating itself right now, and the way of, ooh, how far do I want to go with this?
Jimmy Kimmel losing his job, silencing the media, silencing dissenting voices.
If you want to look and see how Hitler came into power in World War II and the steps that were taken, go take a look and see how categorically we are so close to that. Someone is also following that playbook. What I want to say is, we talked about this, but I do think that there is a lot of people who are defending Charlie Kirk who didn't really know much about Charlie Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
He's now being framed as this pillar of Christianity who was murdered for being a Christian and speaking his mind. Do I think that everyone on both sides sometimes cherry picks? Yes. You know, quotes, things like that, of course. But I think that the biggest problem is that some folks are like, I don't want to dig too deep because I don't want to be wrong. Someone said to me, you know, that empathy quote that I talked about with Charlie Kirk, saying that Charlie was like, I don't like the term empathy because I believe it's a made up term that causes damage. And I didn't realize that the rest of his quote, now I have not watched it. This is what someone told me and I need to go back and watch it.
I know what it says. I watched it and I still actually believe he's wrong, but go ahead.
He believed in sympathy because you could never truly put yourself in someone else's shoes.
That's pretty much what he said. However, all he did was demonstrate that he doesn't know the difference between empathy and sympathy.
Right.
I mean, it's a cop out. He has said that quote many times. He has said offhandedly, I don't believe in empathy. That was the longest he had spoken about. It was that long quote. He said, I prefer the word sympathy. When he would ever talk about wokage, woke language, anyway, he had a word that he used like for people. He's like, that's just woke. He had a habit of saying those. That's a woke word. People would say it all the time. So people said the same thing to me. And I said, I can play the whole clip. I still disagree with it. I still disagree with what he said, but that's just me.
Yeah. I just want to reiterate, we're not glad that Charlie Kirk is dead. That is not a thing. We are not justifying his murder in any way, shape, or form. And it's funny that people are like, you're cherry picking. I'm like, well, you're cherry picking. But the man was not akin to Martin Luther King.
No.
He called Martin Luther King a bad guy.
He said to a black kid who said that he was racially harassed, he called him a liar. He said that didn't happen. No, it didn't. People don't do that. He said he was called an N-word on campus, and Charlie Kirk looked in his eyes and told a black man that he was lying.
I'm Jaden Clark. I'm a student here. Freshman year, I was hate crime 5 times in one night, okay? 3 of them by Trump supporters.
What happened to you?
Okay, for one of them, I was just walking, and then I see this truck full of 4 white men pass by me, MAGA apparel, everything, you know.
Did they say this is MAGA country?
They drove past me, and they were like, you bend over.
Okay, so they said the N-word on campus to you?
Well, yes.
Oh, yeah? Okay, so what happened to them when you reported them?
I didn't report them.
Oh, really? Okay, so maybe it didn't happen. I don't believe you. I'm being honest, I don't believe you.
Okay.
I think you're making it up.
Anyways.
I refuse to believe that somebody on this campus would go around and sheepishly call you the N-word. I refuse to believe that. I think you're lying.
Next instance, they threatened to rape me and then just drove off.
But hold on. So a bunch of Trump guys who are largely white heterosexual males then also threatened to rape you?
Different group of people, but yes.
All in one night?
All in one night, sir.
I think you're making this up.
You can love him. Don't put him on the same pedestal as Martin Luther King and Harvey Milk. Just don't fucking do it. You can love him all you want. I'm not naming a highway after him. It's gotten crazy. The things that people were saying to us, I was like, why are you here?
I will just encourage you to keep open mind, keep your ears open as well, because as we move forward, you do need to ask yourself, should we be fighting with each other or should we be turning our eyes to who the real, I don't want to sound conspiracy theorist or sound like a fucking...
There are institutions in play that work to divide us.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. No president in history has ever just spoken to Republicans and Republicans alone and blamed the Democrats.
Yeah.
Pull up any video of Obama speaking, my fellow Americans.
Yeah.
My fellow Americans. He never did that. Saying it's a Democratic hoax. You're the president of the people. You are not the president of the Republicans.
Yeah.
So go back in history. Find me a clip. This is for fucking real. Find me a clip of any other president addressing the nation in a way that divides. And I will eat crow and I will say your name on the podcast and you get a free fucking year of Patreon. On me, not on the podcast, on me. Because it has not happened. There has been no leaders that have sought to divide us in such a strategic way. It's never happened. There are certain things we're never going to bend on. I'm never going to bend on racism, transphobia, misogyny. I'm never going to bend on it. And I will look at you differently. If you're racist, I'm not.
I noticed how you kept out homophobia. You specifically kept that out.
Did I? I don't listen when I talk, my love.
How long have you hated gay people?
It's been 83 years.
No, of course. And that's the other thing. I'm glad that you brought it back because that was a point I was going to make. I'm not going to try to find common ground with a racist. I'm just not going to.
No.
What a doozy. The world is, you know, but I am also going to encourage you as well. Do not let this consume you. We still have to take care of ourselves. We have to take care of each other. I'm going to highly recommend if you have not started meditating, go on YouTube, search Boho Beautiful Meditations. It's simple. It's easy. Meditate, take care of your mental health, and find space for joy. You have to do that. You cannot be consumed by the darkness.
We should have a Zoom meditation. I would love someone to lead that. We should do that like on a Sunday night.
Every week. We should do a home repair Zoom. We should. Something new.
No. Do you know during COVID, me and my pretty woman girls would do that?
Yeah.
Someone would like host like a Zoom meditation night. Yeah. It was really, really nice. And we just like would turn on our Zoom. People would like do candles and stuff. It was really nice because it's true. When you say stop being consumed, I assume you're talking to me because I am constantly consumed. Thomas has said, please put down your phone.
Well, I have said that to you because your ADHD brain and you're a justice warrior. That's part of your ADHD. And I understand because I'm the same way, but I have just learned for me, it does me more harm than good. And there are other things like I know yours comes from a place of love. You want to help people, but you can't.
It's really precarious out there. Who knows? Everything might change by next rundown. If you're still here, thank you for being here. One thing I will tell you about Joey and I don't really know how to phrase this, and there's a lot of people here in the chat who know us well. Yo, we're good people. We're not perfect. We're opinionated. Everybody who knows us knows where we stand. We had a lot of people saying, I'm a conservative listener. I am a Republican. Am I welcome here? And I'm kind of like, I mean, you know who we are.
Yeah.
You know what things really hit us in the chest. You know, different things hit you and I differently. I get really emotional when kids are involved and, you know, different things hit us, but everyone knows us to our core. And I recognize that there is nuance. I recognize that there are older people who are Republican, who are not necessarily MAGA, who are conservative and not necessarily MAGA. Listen, there's a certain demographic of people on both sides. I don't want to talk to you. But everybody's welcome. We've never made it a secret as to who we are and where our hearts are.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
I think so. I think we all get passionate. We're not perfect. We don't say everything perfectly. We don't do everything exactly right. But I mean, I think that that's what probably is part of our charm. And we are emotional at times. And look, if you point something out, you know, I mean, if you say, hey, listen, can we have a conversation about this? If I have the time, I will have it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there are certain things I'm never going to bend on. Sorry. And then there was a person that I was chatting with who was like, well, you know, Charlie was a good guy and blah, 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 blah. And then when we got down to it, I was like, oh, you believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman. So now we're getting to the heart of it. So he did speak to certain things of you, but you also want to be in with the cool kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You want me for, I can entertain you and look at this faggot making me chuckle and you're fun and you're sweet. But at the end of the day, I don't believe because of my beliefs, I don't think you should be able to get married to the person you love. I'm like, I'm not a singing, dancing clown for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I think I just got off the topic a little bit.
It's been an emotional week. Our DMs have been flooded. Our emails have been flooded. I've been, you know, writing back to people, trying to engage, trying to thoughtfully engage. But at the end of the day, if you just want to hear somebody agree with you 100% of the time, go talk to the mirror. You're not going to find anyone that agrees with you 100% of the time. Joey and I share a brain and we still disagree about people. To me, that's beautiful. I love it when people say to me, you know, I don't always agree with you on everything, but I'm like, okay, so you listen, so you stay, so you engage. What a wonderful world that would be if none of us were ever challenged as to our beliefs. The fact of the matter is, everybody is welcome here. You are all welcome. You are all loved. But if you just want to hear your bullshit regurgitated back to you, find two other singing and dancing monkeys. That's not us.
Yeah. And also, the minute you start saying, well, homosexuality, I'm like, okay. The minute you start calling me a homosexual, I know where this is going.
I call you a
don't
dick sucker, like a regular person.
I really want to, and I'm saying this to you too, Ellen, because I love you. And I know you're such an empath and you take this on. And a lot of people here are empaths. You have to make space for joy. Find ways to take care of yourself, even if you carve out an hour a day to do something nice for yourself. Because if you can't pour from an empty cup. And I say this to myself as well, because as soon as I'm done with this, I'm probably going to meditate. Go meditate. Go put your feet in grass. Go do something that feels good for you so that you can show up, fight the good fight, take care of the people that you love. But you cannot sit in the darkness staring at the darkness. That is not why we were put on this earth. Okay? Love you all. Can we wrap this shit up?
Yeah. Let's close out with Hamilton's "History Has Its Eyes on You."
History has its eyes on me.
I love you, Joey.
I love you, Teen Ellen Marie Marshall. I love you, DBs. Thank y'all for being here. True Crime Rundown.
Now, bitches, bye.
Let me tell you what I wish I'd known when I was young and dreamed of glory. You have no control. Who lives, who dies, who tells your story?